Welcome to Discussing Rhythmic Gymnastics, the podcast we know you have been waiting for. Hello, listeners.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome to our second episode. And Christina, how are you?
I'm quite all right. I had a quite productive day reorganizing my office.
When does school start again?
3 days from now. So for me, it starts Monday. That's the day after tomorrow. Okay. And then students roll in on Tuesday. So there's still quite some things left to do.
Understandably. To prepare. So after editing our first episode now, I really hope that all native English speakers have mercy on me.
They probably will. And I hope that most of you, or all of you hopefully, will forgive me for absolutely saying something totally wrong. I was mistaken. I don't know what happened there. I probably had a memory somewhere from the late 90s lying around watching ballroom dancing on television and just assuming it was the Olympics. I checked again, and ballroom dancing actually has never been an Olympic sport, but I believe the World Dance Organization is trying to make it an Olympic sport. But that's quite tricky because we already have so many subjective sports on there. So like gymnastics, rhythmics, synchronized swimming,
trampoline,
breakdancing, trampolining. Yeah. So where the execution is relevant and quite subjective. So it will be quite tricky to get them on since there's no like acrobatic level. In there that can be like awarded difficulty points or anything. So yeah, that's that never happened. So
please forget what we said.
Yeah. I must have watched something at my grandma's and it was like, I don't know, maybe a world championships competition, something similar.
Probably,
but I remember all the flowing gowns and bright colours. And being fascinated by it.
Yeah, but of course it would be nice to watch because that rarely is broadcasted on TV, I guess.
Yes, hardly ever.
I think I have never seen that on TV, only online.
Yeah, I only remember seeing it once at a local TV station. Unfortunately not on national television
or
in the evening news.
I mean, when we say it isn't on TV, we mean like the professional sport, not like shows like Strictly... What is it?
Come Dancing.
English? Strictly Come Dancing, or in German it's called Let's Dance.
Which is weird that they are all English names. I mean, Strictly Come Dancing is in Great Britain. In the US, it's Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, yes.
And in Germany, it's Let's Dance. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, Dancing with the Stars kind of like is the best fitting one, I guess. Let's Dance is the shortest one and it's kind of like Let's Dance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Quite a fitting name as well. But Strictly Come Dancing, it's a bit weird. But still.
On that topic, I mean, it fits because a few... gymnasts or retired gymnasts later appeared on those shows
In their respective countries.
Yes, and most likely they won the show because they are like, I mean, who can compete with that? If that is your career and then you are a celebrity and then join this show, I mean, everybody just can say, okay, all right, bye. You win anyways.
Yeah, so we remember for Germany it was Magdalena Breschka.
Yes.
But she was voted off the show in the... Yes. And then she came back because somebody else got injured.
And then she went on
to win the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was absurd. But that she didn't have enough fans out there because the audience is allowed to vote as well. So even though she got the highest points from the judges, she didn't have enough
callers. Because rhythmic gymnastics is so unpopular in Germany. Nobody knew her.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is so sad.
And, and I know that Anna Bezonova participated in the Ukrainian version.
As well as Anna Risadinova.
She too?
I only know that Anna Risadinova did compete. I don't know about Anna Bezonova.
Oh, yeah, I've seen clips of her, but that was already in, I believe, 2008 or 2009.
Oh, okay.
Wait, let's check that.
Let's fact check that.
I'll fact check that.
In Georgia, Salome Pashova won, which is great. I really enjoyed watching the clips on Instagram where she shared a lot of it. The choreography always was just amazing. And
yeah, so that was I just looked it up. Anna Bezonova participated in 2009.
Ah, okay.
Or at least it looks like it. And also, I believe that there already are other famous rhythmic gymnasts in different countries who participated. If you know of any of them, please let us know.
Tell us on our Instagram, discussing.rg.podcast.
And let us know if you have any more information on that.
Yeah, so please follow us on Instagram, of course, and you can message us there. And if you have an Instagram account with a lot of followers and a lot of rhythmic gymnastics interested followers, or if you have like a fan page or something, we would love for you to share our Instagram account and let your followers know that there is a podcast now, so they can check it out and maybe they like it and will listen to it, so our community can grow.
Yeah, and engage with us, write to us, open up the discussion.
Yeah, so in our first episode, we were quite all over the place, which is understandable. And also, my audio wasn't that great. I hope we fixed it now and it is better. But my main concern was that we actually wanted to talk about the World Championships and we drifted off all the time and into other topics. So I wanted to say, like in general, these World Championships in Spain were so full of passion and excitement, and you could feel like the crowd was going wild. Of course, the Spanish fans are, I mean, top notch in regards of cheering on gymnasts. And
yes, exactly.
I really love that rhythmic gymnastics is a sport where like everybody supports everybody, and everybody is celebrated. And if something goes wrong, everybody's like, oh no. And nobody's like, oh yes, she messed up, so my favorite can win now. This is just not the mentality of rhythmic fans. And I think the only boo I heard was when someone's score was too low.
You're absolutely right there. And what I believe you want to say about the crowd, the audience in Valencia, they're very energetic and they're very enthusiastic, and they absolutely support everybody. They cheer and clap as soon as the music like requires it. I believe that's not only happening in Spain. I mean, it's always been like that in Spain. If you've been following certain World Cups in Guadalajara, for example, the crowd always goes wild as soon as the music like has a poppy beat or kind of motivates you to clap along. But overall, the audiences in other countries have kind of grown with it.
Yes,
over the last couple of years they're more enthusiastic as well, and they're more engaged and more participating.
I think
so. That's very lovely to see.
The only other country that stood out like before was Italy for me. There also the crowd was very supportive, and you know, they have the farfalle, and it's just another feeling. And in Spain, I really enjoyed that, and this is something, you know, it is coming again at every competition in Spain.
Yeah.
When someone does their turns like several times after another, every time it is ole, ole, ole.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is so amazing.
They're really cheering on everybody. Like if you do several jumps in a row or the many foot turns. And to circle back to the farfalle. So for those of you who might not know, the Italian group has the nickname farfalle, which means butterfly. It's the Italian word for butterfly. So they have their nickname by their fans in their own country and are really supported. And they always do the hand gesture, like they put their thumbs together and then wiggle their the rest of their hands and make this butterfly symbol. So that's the Italian group. And they have been strong for like, I want to say ever. They've always been like in a top 10 group.
Yes.
So they have a strong program going on there.
But it's so lovely that they also have individual gymnasts now who are so successful.
Yeah. And I think that's a good way to circle to our favorite gymnasts from the all-around competition. We want to take a look at that.
Yes, we wanted to talk through like every gymnast in the top 18 who competed at the all-around final, because we barely scratched the surface in the first episode and there's a lot to talk about. So we start.
Let's start at the...
at the top or at the bottom or just a random order?
No, at the bottom, because I believe we have to say a lot more at the top. So let's start at the bottom.
So in 18th place, we have Sora Agamirova from Azerbaijan. I have to say she's not like, she doesn't perform the kind of style I really enjoy. She's such a powerful gymnast.
Yes.
And
that was the exact adjective I was going for. Yeah. She's very strong, very powerful.
And I watched her hoop routine again because I really enjoyed that. I mean, she seems so serious and concentrated all the time. But when she shows her smile, it's genuine. You believe that she really enjoys it. But in my opinion, she shows it too...
rarely.
Too rarely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So... Yeah. Very powerful. I believe she could score higher points performance-wise.
Yes.
So if she just, like, I mean, it's easier said than done, obviously. Yeah. If she showed more, like, the true emotion behind exercise and not just concentration, I think she could score a lot higher on the artistic points she got. But very powerful, very strong. What I didn't like, unfortunately, was she's not wearing skirts in her leotards. She's only like a artistic gymnastics leotard without any skirt or without many glittery stuff or decorations. Very plain, very simple, which of course is a valid choice if you prefer that. But for me, it didn't do much.
Yeah, that isn't especially something which bothers me, I have to say. Like, well, the style of your leotard, if this is your style, then please wear it like that.
Of course, it's fine. But it's something that bothers me. I just don't prefer it.
What I had the feeling is missing is like kind of a theme to her routines. Like, it's a lot of times very, very serious. Yeah, well, if that is what she likes and what she thinks represents herself best, of course, stick with that.
Go for it.
But
yeah.
I think, I mean, you could give it a little bit more so the audience really sees what you mean, you know? It could come across better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
then in place 17, we had Hélène Karabanov
from France. Yes. What is your favorite routine from her?
Do you remember
anything?
I know that she was quite, well, I remember she was elegant.
Yes.
And quite tiny.
Yeah.
So And when looking at the scores again, I believe her ball routine was very lovely, but she didn't do anything that was stuck in my memory.
Well, let me trigger your memory. Even though she made a mistake in the all-around final with the hoop, mm-hmm. her music choice is amazing and the routine fits it so well. It is O Fortuna from Carmina Burana.
Mm-hmm.
She does it very well because you look at her and think she's so tiny and she's mm-hmm. so cute. I'm sorry if you look at her, it's just, oh, what a cute girl. Mm-hmm. And then this mm-hmm. powerful music starts up and she hits the accents in the music with the choreography and it's just...
on point.
It is a goosebump moment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. this stuck in my mind, and her side scale turns.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work perfectly. I think it's the same with Sofia Raffaelli. But if mm-hmm. it works, your mind is blown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So next up, place 16, Fanny Piknitsky from Hungary.
Mm-hmm. She was, I believe, one of the oldest participants at the World Championships, right?
Yes. I don't quite know how old she is, but I mean older. Like early 20s? Probably.
Early 20s, mid-20s.
Like, I would guess like 23 or something.
She definitely goes to university because she has won the... University Games.
Oh, yeah,
so
you told me that.
She is 23. Yeah.
Guess right.
But she has been around for quite some time.
Yeah.
And also very clean, very stable gymnast.
What I really liked, or what stuck in my mind, was her red leotard for her hoop routine.
Mm-hmm. With the big
big flowers.
Shoulder thingy with the flowers on the shoulder,
and it's just a very emotional routine which she mm-hmm. really delivers well. She's very elegant and
very focused.
Yeah, focused, and she brings it across with her face. You know, it's kind of the whole package. And in addition to that, she also shows variety, like in her ribbon routine, which is very fun, very light, mm-hmm. colorful routine.
Yeah, she has like such a different style for all of her routines. And she's a very mature gymnast.
Yeah.
She's been around for a couple of years. Those were definitely not her first World Championships. She's gone several times. She won the University Games. So she knows what she's doing, very concentrated, very focused. And do we know if she's qualified for the Olympics? I guess not.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I think she even won a medal at this World Championships.
Ah, yes. Ah, lovely.
Yes. So next up we have Annelies Dragan from mm-hmm. Romania. I think I have only one routine stuck in my mind. And we texted about this during the competition because I said I love the music for her ball routine, which is mm-hmm. the film score to The Theory of Everything.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, that was very beautiful.
The Oscar winning. winning movie with Eddie Redmayne getting the Oscar for best performance or best actor as Stephen Hawking and the music is it's a piano piece by Johan Johansson and it's just so beautiful and lovely, and I love that at least I think she isn't the only gymnast to choose music from this film. But I'm so happy that it is that popular, so that mm-hmm. gymnasts perform to it, because it's she does it really well. It's such a flowing piece of music, and to perform with ball to that, it fits perfectly.
Yeah, and you need to be really skillful, like, to keep the ball rolling and flowing across your body. Yes. To portray the music as it was intended, with this flowing melody.
Yes.
So she really did well. Then we had one of the crowd favorites, of course, in Spain, Paulina Berecina from Spain, obviously.
Yes.
And what I remember best about her was the ribbon routine.
Of course. I have written that down too. I knew you would.
It was the music from the dance movie Flashdance. And she also included some of the movements from the original dance in the film into her routine, like the pointing at the judges, for example. Yes. And she had this 80s style leotard with like the pink
ribbon around her waist.
That was supposed to look like the pink belt that they used to wear around their waist, and not just like to keep your pants up. So that was a really great style, and I love the energy of the performance.
I mean, the song, What a Feeling, just gets the crowd going. I mean, really
crowd favorite.
Again,
one of those performances that makes you want to jump onto the carpet and dance with her. Yes.
And she is someone who really like plays with the crowd and the judges. Mm-hmm. You know, she always has her eye on you. Like you watch her and you have the feeling she is performing for you, especially.
Yeah, exactly. And even though she didn't do that well in the finals, I think she messed up with the ribbon a bit. The crowd went wild for her, and yeah. I mean, she already secured the qualifying place, right?
Yes, both Spanish gymnasts qualified for the Olympic Games, which is amazing. And they were celebrated and went wild, you know, which is a great achievement.
Yeah, but I believe both knew that they didn't have any chance to like get on the podium. So it let them free to just perform for the crowd, and because it was fun and to do the best for themselves.
At the all-around final, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. So there was nothing to lose, just to win, do a great performance, have fun, enjoy it. So that one stuck with me. And she had...
she is a Potterhead, like
yeah,
us.
Yeah, she had the... She had this great leotard with the...
sign of the Deathly Hallows.
Deathly Hallows, exactly. Can we put pictures in the show notes?
I don't think so. We will put the link to her Harry Potter performance in the show notes. So she is someone who always like has a story behind her routine.
Mm-hmm. Like her club's routine was the music from Stranger Things,
yes.
Right? Very, very aggressive style, dramatic, very...
I remember. It is her
horrific.
Clubs routine, but her hoop routine is the one with the clock, with the tic-tac, and she...
Oh,
it sounds a bit like Hunger Games music. And the style of a leotard suggests, you know, think like, is it Hunger Games?
Like she uses her legs like the hands of a clock.
Yes.
That's ticking along. So that's very smart.
Very creative.
Very creative.
I think I have seen that before. I don't remember which gymnast did that, or my head might just not function right and it was her who I saw it doing.
Never seen it before, but we might have seen it in a group somewhere, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I don't remember having seen anybody before that doing that.
Yeah, well, she has... four amazing routines in her repertoire, and I can't wait
to see what she does
next. I hope she keeps her ribbon routine though. I really hope.
Yeah,
because
she should
we will
keep that.
See her in Paris.
Yeah. Same goes for place 13, Milena Baldassari from Italy.
our Billie.
You want to say a lot about her. Go on.
Well, she's our Billie Eilish fan, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. So we saw her already in Tokyo 2021, and she had a routine to
Bad Guy.
Bad Guy.
With the clubs, with this, no?
Mm-hmm. And with this great greenish, with black triangles all over it, Leo. Yeah, that was very great. And this year she performed with The Ball to more of the spoken word track by Billie Eilish, where she's just like referring or talking about what other people say about her, think about her, and then what that does to a young person.
I think it is a great concept for a routine, you know, because in what sport this is more present than in rhythmic gymnastics, where you are judged, you know, like not only what you achieve as an athlete,
how you look like and how you perform.
Yes, you have to be like pretty, you have to do your makeup, you have to do your hair, and if something is out of place, you know, you might pay for it with points.
A deduction, yeah, you might get a deduction for that. And the good thing about that track is you can, I mean, Billie Eilish has her certain kind of soft voice that's not super easy to understand if you're not a native speaker.
Yes.
But it's easier to understand than in an actual song that is sung with melody and where maybe some words get slurred together. So she can get the message across, like, not only with the song itself or the words that are spoken, but also with her body. She can, like, support what is said with the apparatus, with her movement, with her expression, and that was really beautiful, I believe. Yes. And it was not fun, obviously. It was very serious and
in contrast, like, in contrast to her Bad Guy routine, like that was really
which
fun.
Was very fun.
Yes, she seems to get a bit more serious, like as she gets older.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
same. I also like the fun side of her. Like I miss such a routine in this set this year. So I hope she changes up something next year.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
We will get like maybe a little I'm just here to make you smile routine.
Yeah.
Not exactly. Please think about that the next 10 days after my competition.
Take out your tissue and dry your tears. Because we had some of those routines as well.
Yeah.
Then, one of our favorites, obviously.
I wrote down my favorite routines, ribbon and ball, and then in parentheses, and clubs and hoop.
Yeah, so all of these routines are great. And of course, for us, living in Germany, we watched probably all the routines several times. And what I particularly liked, I loved her choices of music for each and every apparatus. So each song is stuck in my mind. So she has for her ribbon, an aggressive rock song by Måneskins, which is incredible.
I love
it's
this song
fun.
So
it's
much.
I Want to Be Your Slave.
Ah, yes.
Yeah,
that's right.
And it's just because it's usually people pick something with a lot of, melody, soft piano sounds, like something orchestral, something romantic, something soft, something light. And hers is like a aggressive kind of thing.
But I think...
And she makes it work.
She makes it work, of course. And I would like to... circle back to Sora Agamirova, because I think she would do a routine to this kind of music good as well. She would do it well as well. It would match her style and personality.
Yeah, exactly. So that was like ribbon, not quite the usual thing that we go for.
Yeah.
Then I loved her ball routine. I was so sorry to like see the ball fall away.
Oh my god, I because nearly it's cried. Such a
yeah, it's such a great version of feeling good. It's so sexy, it's so sensual. Yeah. And she's not too young to portray that kind of style.
And this which I love. Shows
I mean, it would be weird. Yeah, and it would be weird if someone like only 15, 16 year old would perform that, but she's 19. So that's perfectly fine. She can do that. She knows what she's doing.
Yes.
And it's fun. It's sexy. It's not too sexy. It's just the right amount. And
I love that they changed her Leo for that routine.
I don't even remember the old one. It's like a dark bluish
thing. Now it's the dark bluish thing with the heart cut out.
Mm-hmm.
I just love leotards with a heart cut out. I'm such a...
You're a sucker for that. Yeah,
I'm
a
sucker for that. and it matches her figure. It's just, it's just such a great combination.
It's amazing,
I love it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And her claps routine, on the other hand, I don't like the Leo at all. I'm so sorry.
Me but neither.
But it's just not the right color combination for me,
for you, but the thing is it absolutely matches the song.
We
all remember the party rock anthem,
yes,
which is I want to say older than she is, but that was
not quite
a popular song like around 2009, somewhere like that. She even included some of the shuffle steps that were made popular through the music video, so she probably was a little girl when that song was like
and
in the charts.
And it's a song which is always fun. Always. Yeah. Like everybody knows it. Everybody has a smile on their face. I don't know anyone who would say like, oh my God, I can't listen to this track anymore. Like,
oh yeah, I know people who would say that. Okay. But still, I mean, if you listen to it too often, song
for a routine which is only 1:30, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely, and it's fun. Everybody starts clapping along, and she has such cool dance moves in there.
Yeah, and see that she is having fun.
She, absolutely. Like, again, the jumping on the carpet and performing alongside with her.
And complete the set, her hoop routine is, again, something totally different, I think. It's more serious and dramatic, which is something that the other routines I think don't have, and it's I'm so sad. I don't want to lose these routines.
Yeah, but it's the only routine without words. Lyrics, right?
Yeah, without lyrics.
Yeah, and still she makes it work.
The only occasion in which I would like accept Margarita Kolosov with another set of four routines is like if she did four Taylor Swift routines.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. That's something we wish for any gymnast. Please feel free to do a complete set of Taylor Swift routines. Contact us if you want some 90-second
music. We have a few cuts for that already. Right up our sleeves.
So we have ideas for what you could do for the different apparatuses and have like 90-second.
And have each apparatus a different era.
You can't do two apparatuses from the same era. Yeah, if you do a Taylor Swift set, feel free to contact us. But she wouldn't be the type for that. She's more into the rock music.
Don't think that she's a Swiftie at all.
She might be one, but not like... Well, I don't know, Margarita, if you listen to this, please contact us and tell us if you like Taylor Swift as much as we do.
I already had another music for her in mind, and I already sent her my cut version.
Yeah? Which one?
I was stuck on Sam Smith's Pray.
Oh,
because it
lovely.
Because it is such a masterpiece. It is the music slowly, changes into like from a really slow, quiet dramatic feeling to such an orchestral with choir, and
it has a big crescendo.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Which is, so you could like really build on but the different
it is, parts. Unfortunately, it is so hard to edit to 1 minute and 30 seconds.
Yeah,
I really tried my best, but it's so you have to leave out such great parts of that song.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, can I send this to you, please? You don't have to make a routine out of it. Just maybe for a gala or something, take inspiration.
Yeah.
But because I started to see, when I listen to music, sometimes if it is a great song, I see choreography in my mind immediately. Mm-hmm. And if you can't do it yourself, because I'm not such a talented dancer and my body doesn't work that way, I see Margarita doing the routine in my head. And I was like, if someone can do this justice, she can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So Pray would be a wonderful, I believe, ball or ribbon routine for her.
Yeah.
So feel free, take it. And it's also like, I mean, if you want to perform to that song, since it's so difficult to sing the song, I mean, you need to be such an incredible singer to like
reach that.
Okay, congratulations, you can, but not with his buttery voice.
Yeah,
okay?
Of course. The voice is this the reason this song works. You know?
Yeah, exactly. So if any other performer would sing the song, probably wouldn't work.
Yeah.
So, but still, it's so incredibly difficult to sing the song. And then it's even more difficult to, like, create a choreography that makes this, like, that doesn't destroy the song itself, that enhances it and not, like, destroys it. So you usually need the skills of a rhythmic gymnast, or at least as a, like the ones of professional dancers. I mean, it could work without apparatus, of course, but you need to be able to do the certain turns.
What would work even better would be if a group would do it, because you have more options to focus on several parts of the song
at the same time, simultaneously, to show the different layers,
which is what happens in my head. Like, I have like, okay, the bass line, the dancers will do this step, and then the melody is this, and the bridge, everybody's doing something different,
and then it
creates a picture, you know.
Exactly. All right, so we have next in place 11, Barbara Domingos.
Also a favorite of yours, I guess.
Mm-hmm, definitely. She is an incredible performer. I really loved her clubs routine to the girl from Ipanema.
That is what I have written.
Which is, I mean, only fitting for a Brazilian.
Yes.
And I don't know, I believe it was the ribbon, routine, the Lion King routine?
I don't remember. Hoop?
Was it maybe Hoop? Let me check really quickly.
But
because the Lion King routine was
the music for her clubs routine, the girl from Ipanema, she also included that in her gala performance. So she had a cut with the girl from Ipanema and Samba do Brasil. Did I say that right?
Yeah, it was the hoop routine. This is very jungly. So Barbara Domingos had the routine to a Lady Gaga song with the ribbon. And she did a great Lion King performance with the hoop. And I didn't particularly like the leotard, but it was very, very fitting.
Yes.
And she had like the raw movements with her hands, and she did all the gestures and the facial expressions of a like wild lioness, and it was just awesome.
Yeah.
So that I really liked that.
I think it's so cliche for us to say that, but she's such a typical Brazilian girl.
You know? She is. But why is that a bad thing? That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, enjoy. I mean, she has such great samba skills.
Yes.
She really put, like, she represents her country very well.
In the best way, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm really excited to see South American countries represented in the sport, because we only ever see European countries and Asian countries like in the top 20. And this time we had someone from Brazil in there. I mean, the US were not too far from that.
Yeah, they are up and coming.
Yeah. but still, not too many representation, not too many girls from the African continent, or from New Zealand, Australia, etc. But still, it's getting more diverse, so I love that for the sport.
I mean, I also support the rule for the spots for the Olympic Games, that in the continental championships, the last spots are given, so that you have the representation of your country or of your continent, at least, like that. People from all over the world can cheer on someone at this competition.
So we will definitely see someone else than Barbara Domingos, or definitely from some other Pan American country, because the Pan American Games will be held, I don't know when, somewhere next year in spring. So, or the Pan American Championships for Rhythmic Gymnastics. So, we'll probably see somebody from the US, or even maybe Mexico, or
Canada,
Argentina, Canada. So they all still have a chance, and we will see somebody from the African continent as well, and from Oceania.
Yes. In 10th place, we have Silu Wang. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly. Please correct me. So honestly, she didn't really leave a memorable impression on me. She is a very elegant gymnast, but I don't remember a special routine or something. It's hard when you don't watch the Continental Championships before the World Championships. So I saw her for the first time, I think. And I know she's very clean. Like, her execution is really good. But I think what I always would say about, like, a Chinese gymnast is there isn't enough personality in there. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I wish there was more like, this is me, and I'm set apart from other gymnasts because of this and this and this. And remember me because I swept you off your feet or something like that.
Yeah. I'm sad to have to agree with that because she, as you mentioned, very clean, very elegant, very graceful. But I believe why she isn't that memorable to us is because her music isn't memorable. So there was no title that was stuck in our head. There was no, like, her choreography wasn't like, oh, that's fitting really well to the music. It was just like, there are some gymnasts who can perform to just any music. So the music and the routine have not that much in common. They're not necessarily linked.
Which is quite funny because I see on Instagram sometimes people who do, like, music swaps. Like, they take a routine and just lay another music to it.
Oh, like they swap out the music and then suddenly it fits?
Yeah, and I'm like, how? Then your choreography is just bad. I'm sorry. If you can do that, it's not fitting.
If you can just exchange the music and the choreography fits even better to some different kind of music, that's not good. So your music and your choreography should be like should be linked in a way that so it's not exchangeable. So
this is also something that bothered me, like, a few code of points beforehand where before. Like, every routine was like the same and the music was all the same, and just there wasn't a performance, you know. I thought, like, why is this called rhythmic gymnastics? You can just call it gymnastics and leave the music, you know.
So if I remember correctly, for the London Olympics, the music didn't really matter. That was kind of like, you can do it, but you don't think have
some,
to. You will
some still... routines were some like stand out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And some routines stood out because they matched yes. the music. That's why they were memorable.
Like Alina Maximenko, for example.
Mm-hmm. Or, what was her name? Not Evgenia Kanava, but the second one. Daria Kondakova.
Ah, yeah.
Daria
yeah.
Kondakova. Mm-hmm. She had several great routines. And the Ukrainians always pay attention to their music choice. But like for the 2012 Olympics and for the 2021 Olympics, the music didn't really matter. I mean, in 2016, they did quite well because they were required to put in dance steps.
Yes.
But then that was left out and the difficulty score was like allowed to soar.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was that kind of made the music interchangeable. But
I mean, artistry scored right now mm-hmm. in the code of points, I think it makes a difference. But I also think that there are some gymnasts who are just like, I'm just doing the same thing I always did, you know? Not thinking about, the code of points has changed. Now I have to adjust my routines.
Yeah. But for Silo Wang, that didn't really make a difference, I believe, because I guess she had well-fitting routines to her music, but the music was just nothing that we remember right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
So
which of course might be different for you, listener.
Yeah, exactly.
You might
loved
the music and therefore just mm-hmm. loved her as a gymnast. But
yeah,
I really look forward to seeing more from her and
mm-hmm.
give her the chance to stick in our heads.
Yeah, exactly. Because she's doing a beautiful, beautiful job, but nothing that I was like, I wouldn't go back and be like, I want to watch that routine again. Yeah. I can applaud it and I can be like, wow, that was incredible, but I wouldn't want to watch it again.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So we talked about the places 18 to 10 from the all-around final. And we talked a lot, so I guess we should leave it here. And
this took quite some time and a lot longer than we thought it would.
So we will discuss the top 9 in the next episode. And mm-hmm. we'd love for you to follow us on Instagram. It's discussing.rg.podcast, and maybe share with your friends and your gym buddies.
Exactly.
So and we'd love your feedback.
Let us know what you think. Give us feedback, let us know what you think. Write in your ideas, your opinions. Maybe you have some requests what we should talk about after covering the world championships. I mean, we have got some things up our sleeves, but maybe you have some more and creative ideas, so we would really like to hear that.
So we hope you liked this episode, and as always, don't forget to point your toes.
Tune in next time.
Bye. We'd like to say a special thank you to Mona for creating our amazing cover art and to Jenny for sparking our passion for rhythmic gymnastics.